Welcome to the Thomistic Institute podcast. Our mission is to promote the Catholic intellectual tradition in the university, the church, and the wider public square. The lectures on this podcast are organized by university students at Thomistic Institute chapters around the world. To learn more and to attend these events, visit us at thomisticinstitute.org.
So the topic for this session is the doctrinal status of just war in the contemporary teaching of the Catholic Magisterium. Now, right off the bat, I think it's essential to recognize that there hasn't been a continuous teaching on just war within the Catholic Church. It's not as though we started with, you know, Augustine, Aquinas, and then we have Victorian Suarez, you know, and Cajetan and others. And that just, you know, and that was just, you know, was a continuous point of reference up until today. In fact, it's the contrary that's been the case. If you look at writings relating to, you know, more broadly war and ethics around, well, in the 1930s, you'll find that there's, in fact, very few references to just war. And at that time, there were quite a few Catholic thinkers who thought that the just war doctrine was obsolete. I mentioned Luigi Sturzo, who wrote an entire book on this topic, and he has within the book, trying to remember the title exactly. I just wrote an article on it. I can't remember the title of the book, but I think it's International Law or International Order and the Right of War. So he argues that the just war idea is obsolete under conditions of international order, where states come together to sort out their decisions, their disputes in a consensual way. Around 1931, there was a French priest who made some statements in favor of pacifism. And then he came under heavy criticism by, I think it was a Dominican actually, named Stateman. And then he came under rather heavy criticism. And then the idea was proposed actually by Pope Pius XII, his family name. He was then nuncio in Munich, and he proposed that there be a study group that could come together to discuss this question about, well, is just war obsolete? Can a Catholic legitimately espouse pacifism? And so forth. So the group met for a couple of years in Fribourg, Switzerland, under the auspices of the local bishop. And Henri de Lubac was one of the people who was involved early on, but he withdrew for reasons I don't know. And the group ended up coming out with a declaration, which has since become known as the Fribourg Conventus, Conventus meaning assembly or meeting. And in this declaration, they hardly use the term just war. And really, they say that defense can be legitimate under specified conditions. But what they suggest is that international society should organize itself in such manner that states will no longer see a need to unilaterally resort to armed force. So the whole suggestion behind the Conventus document is, again, that just war is sort of obsolete. It's not something we need to focus on as Catholics. And that statement seems to have had an impact on the thinking of subsequent popes. I mean, Pius XII himself. So I think that's an important background for what we're about to discuss. There has been a debate here in the United States, began somewhere around 1973. James Turner Johnson, I think, who's one of the foremost writers on just war, particularly the history of just war thinking, but also some systematic work, he wrote an article, I think it appeared in the Monist, where he talked about the betrayal of the just war tradition in the Catholic Church. So it's a rather harsh criticism of how the Church has sideline just war thought. You may recall the first Gulf War, Pope John Paul issued cautions about. He didn't support the U.S. action to repel Iraq from Kuwait, and that raised a certain amount of consternation in circles who want to see a stronger appeal to just war. So that's sort of the background of what I'm trying to look at in this article. And again, this was requested. This came as a request from the Revue Thomiste. And I like the way they put it. They said, what is the doctrinal status of just war in contemporary Catholic thought, particularly, you know, authoritative Catholic thought, the magisterium? I think we need to be very cautious in saying that just war has the status of a kind of dogma. Obviously, it's not an article of faith. But is it something that we Catholics... does it pertain to the deposit of faith in any way? I think I mentioned to you earlier, Suarez thought that it did. And because he says that pacifism amounts to heresy. Well, and with the suggestion that it's because just war is somehow part of the constant teaching of the faith. It's somehow in that deposit. One of the leading authors who revived just war thought at the beginning of the 20th century, Alfred Vanderpoel. This was an engineer who retired early and was involved in a Catholic peace movement, which was very active at that time. He's a Frenchman. And he wrote books on sort of trying to uncover the just war teaching of the church. And in Vanderpoel's, one of his, at the beginning of, you know, the book that's most cited, he says, well, is just war part of the church's deposit of faith or you know, the part of the constant teaching? He says, not quite. He said, it's true. It has been taught for centuries. It's in the textbooks. But he cautions, again, against the Suarez's position on this score, with the suggestion that alternative approaches are legitimate, right? One's not falling into heresy if one adopts these other approaches. So I wrote this article mainly thinking of Thomists, because I was asked to do so by the La Revue Thomiste. The published version appeared just about last week, so I circulated it to lots of folks, and I've already started getting reactions. I was a little bit tempted to circulate to people who I knew would agree with me, or I thought they would agree with me, but I said, no, don't do that. So I've gotten some strong reactions already. You know, the first one was, great article. This was by a German theologian. It should be translated into German. And the reason he wanted to see it translated into German is the German Bishops' Conference has recently published a document relating to war and ethics where they're harshly critical of just war. And they even blame the just war teaching for somehow supporting Hitler's militarism. It goes that far. So he thought, okay, get my article out in German. That could be an anecdote to this kind of approach. So there is something distinctive in the Catholic tradition where we see the value of patiently reflecting on issues like we've been doing here. Then I had a friend who's a professor at Dartmouth College, and he said, well, yeah, you're right. Pope Francis hasn't said anything new. He said, but your point that Pope Francis is what Pope Francis has to say on legitimate defenses is in no substantive way different from what Aquinas says. He said, you're wrong, because Aquinas had a punitive conception of war. This was the whole debate yesterday. And then he said, in addition, you say at the end that just war is part of the permanent teaching of the Catholic Church. He said, we should set our sights much higher. We should not maintain in today's world that states should retain this privilege of resorting to armed force. Okay, so he's thinking like in a world order perspective. We have to give up this just war stuff. So I wrote him back and I said, well, I don't agree with you that Aquinas develops a punitive conception of just war. And I said, secondly, even should armed force, let's say we get into a system where we have a recognized overarching body that can repress wrongdoing in the world, so it's no longer in the hands of individual states, something like the UN. I said, there will still be conflict arising in the world. We'll still have evil, and we'll still need to react to evil against evil. It may not be individual states that are doing it at that point. It's going to be, well, that overarching body. But their use of force, for me, goes under the label of just war. Right? So I don't think just war is equivalent to states resorting to force on the basis of their sovereignty. You can think of other organs having fulfilling that function. Okay, so I start off the article. I decided, okay, how to get into this material. Well, Fratelli Tutti offers a very good way in, because if you read through papal documents on use of armed force, the last time I see the term just war used in an affirmative way was Pius XII around 52 or 54. After that, the only times I find the term just war being used is in proclamations. And so you get it like in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, those 92. There is a footnote where they, you know, they talk about legitimate defense and what the criteria are, and there's a footnote that says, and I think it's a footnote, something like, this is what was previously called the just war criterion. This is what went under the label just war. So notice, there's this reticence about the term. It's not a denial or a negation of the substance, not in the catechism, but there's an uneasiness about that term just war. So, okay, Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti. He has two statements in the encyclical. One statement is that, you know, we have these just war criteria, but they're extremely difficult to apply today. Then he has another statement where he quotes the passage from Augustine who talks about waging war with words, all right, persuasion, versus waging war with a sword. And Francis says Augustine was right. We need to wage war with words. I mean, persuasion, witness. And he says, in our day, no one thinks that we can adhere to this Augustine's doctrine of just war. So people have seized on these statements to say just war is out. And so what I argue for in this paper is that this is a misreading of these texts. I can recognize that people can come to other conclusions, but I sort of go about doing my own reconstruction of this problem. So I start off with, and then I say, okay, let's take Thomas Aquinas as our baseline thinker when it comes to just war. So are the things that Pope Francis is saying, are they consistent or not with what, there are other strands of just war. But I think Thomas represents the most balanced view within the Catholic, within the scholastic stream on just war. More balanced than Suarez or Cajetan. So what I do at the beginning is try to explain how there is a similarity. There's actually the very project of Fratelli Tutti and Aquinas' approach to just war, framing of just war in the Summa. There's a strong likeness between them. Because what does Pope Francis do in Fratelli Tutti? His claim is that bonds of friendship, concord and friendship, should permeate all aspects of our lives. So the whole idea is to promote that. And he says he talks about, obviously, individual friendships, relations between single individuals. But he says that friendship should also characterize this social friendship, the way we interact in larger communities. And Pope Francis says, and it even should correspond to the way states interact with each other, nations. So I think that's very much in keeping with how Aquinas approaches the whole question in the Treatise on Charity. Because the setup, and you're probably going to go into it more, and I hope I'm not stealing your thunder for tomorrow, but the way he approaches it is, okay, yes, it's in the Treatise on Charity, but it's on the section of the charity that deals with sins against charity. So he doesn't come out and say just war is an act of charity. No. What happens is, this is my reading, if you go to the different, he's got these short prologues within, at the beginning of the, Treatise on Charity, but also when he starts talking about the sins against charity, he's got these little summary statements. He starts off when he gives the first summary statement, I don't recall which article it is, it may be article 24. He mentions some sins against charity, but war is not mentioned. And as he goes on, he kind of broadens the list, and then he gets to just war. So I don't think he had war in mind when he started writing this. And something weird happens. He's enumerating sins against charity, and he's gotten pretty far along. And then war is among them, and he starts talking about just war. And you're like, where's the sin? He's talking So what I think happens here is that he's enumerating not just any old sins against charity. He's enumerating sins that stand opposed to peace, the peace that flows from charity. So these, the sins against charity is a broader, hatred is a sin against charity. But now he's focused on the sins opposed to peace, insofar as it flows from charity. He's thinking of charity as friendship. So what are the different bonds of friendship? The sins are going to be opposed to the different way we are bound together in friendship. Okay, well, there's friendship between individuals, human beings. Just, someone you might meet in a cafe, I don't know, just ordinary bonds of individual human beings. What's the sin opposed to that kind of bond? He calls it the sin of strife. Then there are sins that are opposed to the church, the society believers. That's a really grave sin. That's the worst. That's schism. Then there's the sin that's opposed to the unity of the individual polity. That's the sin of sedition. Okay, so war comes up in those questions as a sin, but he ends up talking about just war, because that will help us define the sin. What bond does the sin of war stand opposed to? It's the bond between the multitude of nations. So the suggestion here, the background here, is that the proper condition for nations is not to be at war with each other. The proper condition is to exist in bonds of concord, a kind of communion. So he's thinking in terms of international society, not as some sort of Hobbesian state of all against all, some sort of condition of anarchy. He thinks the ideal condition is one of bonds, a kind of distinctive form of friendship. There's a Catholic thinker, Taparelli d'Aziglio, who wrote an important treatise. He's one of the first Catholic sociologists. But the whole treatise was based on this idea of the way that nations should relate to each other in a kind of distinctive form of friendship. So I see this close parallel between the way St. Thomas sets up the whole problematic relating to hope, approaches the issue of just war in the Summa, to the way Pope Francis does it. One other relevant point. Aquinas does not think that justice alone can unite people. So, and there's this quote that we've seen Justice removes obstacles to peace, but charity is a unitive force. So the insight here is that, and I remember my professor in Toulouse, Pierre Labordet, saying, justice is always vis-a-vis the alterity of the other. It's always recognizing what the other has is the other. So justice is not unitive. It's founded on this recognition of alterity. But friendship is unitive, because through friendship, the friend becomes like another self. So, and Aquinas has this very striking statement in his commentary on the Aristotle's Ethics. Aristotle says that concord is what holds states together. A kind of friendship holds states together. And Aquinas, elucidating on that, says, yes, concord is what holds, Aristotle says, concord is what holds a state together, a polity. Without friendship in a polity, the polity will fall apart. And that's what we're struggling with in the United States today. You know, how deep it goes, I can't say, but it's sort of some unitive principle, some sense of people seeing like we're together in this. We're civic friends. That's falling away. But Aristotle said it's concord, it's friendship that holds states together. And Aquinas just slips in something Aristotle didn't say. He said, and that is also, friendship is also what binds states together. He doesn't use the word state. He used polities, republics. That's what holds them together. Okay, so that's the continuity between the two authors. I see them having very similar projects. All right, then what are we to make, though, of a seeming discordance that they, you know, when it comes specifically to the issue of just war, they appear to part ways. Okay. Pope Francis has given some interviews. You know, he loves to give interviews. And one interview he gave was to a French sociologist named Dominique Wolton. And Dominique Wolton had a good sense to question Pope Francis about, you know, his views concerning just war. I've got quotes, the relevant quotes of Pope Francis in the text which was distributed. What comes to light there is Pope Francis's beef is with the phrase. He's bothered by this idea because he thinks that there's some fundamental incompatibility between justice and war, that those two words can't hold together. And it's a little bit like what I said regarding Journet and Holy War. Journet said Christian Holy War is a contradiction in terms. I haven't had an opportunity to develop it, but okay. So Pope Francis is saying these two words, justice and war, don't go together. Now, but then he goes on to explain, yeah, of course countries can defend themselves if they're under attack. You know, and he goes out to say the sort of things that just war folks say. So my take on this is that Pope Francis is doing two things. He's not a systematic thinker, as we know. You know, he's not a speculative theologian who, so he has intuitions, but he's not someone I think who sat down and started reading books about this before pronouncing on it. I don't think he had very many occasions as Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires to really sit down and think about matters relating to war and ethics. And in fact, in some interview he gave recently, the journalist said, what's the hardest issue you've had to deal with as Pope? Came out and said it was when the civil war in Syria broke out. He was newly elected Pope, and he said that was a severe challenge trying to think his way into that. So he's not accustomed to dealing with these matters. He's not like, you know, Pope John the 23rd, who was a papal diplomat, who had to face these things. So he's doing two things. One is when he uses that word war, sometimes he's thinking of it as the condition of parties contending against each other. It's not the single party's action. It's the whole nexus of
parties fighting each other. That's not just. That should not be. That's not how what God intended. I agree with him, 100%. Thomas Aquinas would agree with 100%. There's war only when there's sin. War is a manifestation of sin. That's one thing. On the other hand, if you start taking into focus the role of one of the parties in the conflict, I think I mentioned to you previously, okay, no party engaging in war it turns out to be pure. There's always things that happen, either deliberately or often not deliberately, that are terrible. The paradigm case of the just war, Second World War. I mean, look at the Allied concentration bombing of Germany. That was not a good thing. The use of a nuclear weapon against Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I don't think on ethical grounds that can be justified. So even they had a just cause, all sorts, and war has a tendency to draw out these sort of bad things. So if you take the word just in its like really full sense, almost the biblical sense of comprehensive, a kind of comprehensive good, even one party engaging in war is never going to turn out to be pure through the course of it. It's just the nature of the game. All right, where are we at with it then? I maintain in this paper that just war theorists, people who endorse conception of just war, we should not be too settled on the term. And I think if Thomas had really sat down and thought about it, he wouldn't have used the term just war. I mean, he didn't put it in the Treatise on Charity, which would have been the natural place if that's what he really wanted to talk about in a direct way. He didn't. I think he just picked up the term because that was a term of art that was used in, there's a whole body of literature on war and ethics under the label just war. I mean, you had Augustine, of course, but then not just Augustine. You had canon lawyers. You had various legists. You had various predecessors to Thomas. So it's not like he's going to start innovating. So he picks up the term. And I think what happens when he arrives at that question 40 and he's about to embark on the sinfulness of war, then it hits him. There is this just war, which he'd already mentioned in his earlier writings. He mentions just war in the sentences. He mentions it earlier in the Treatise on Faith. So I think, let's jettison that term just war if it's going to become problematic for people, if people are going to misunderstand what it means. And I liken it to the word inflammable. Inflammable means capable of being burning. But people misunderstood the in and started thinking, it means it's not burnable. So now if you'll notice on the back of trucks that are transporting, inflammable materials, they always say flammable. And that was a conscious decision on the part of there's some society that, manages hazardous materials. People kept misunderstanding what it meant. So they said, let's just make good. So maybe we should just stop using the term just war and say, okay, that was used historically, but we can talk about it under other phrases. Well, legitimate defense is often one. Now, if we move through those difficulties, we have to ask, why have the popes not spoken of just war? What's been holding them back? So, I'm trying to think this through. I think the primary reason is that the popes are wanting to affirm positive developments in international law. International law is, especially since the end, beginning with the League of Nations, but then the Kellogg-Briand Pact, and then after the Second World War, the UN Charter. International law is trying to build a set of rules around
use of armed force.
And so the popes, who also have diplomatic representation from what we see, they've been wanting to affirm developments, these developments in international law, as positive developments. International law does not use the language of just war. UN Charter, the only moment when the term war appears is at the beginning in the prologue, where it talks about the scourge of war. So they're using the wars as an equivalent to what we call the sin of war. But what the Charter does is re-describe under other terms what we would call just war. So states have a right to resort to defense against attack. Defense against attack, that's one of the modalities of just wars. The Security Council is empowered to use armed force against threats to peace and security. They rarely manage to do it because they can't agree amongst themselves, but they're empowered to do that. And they talk about security measures to deal with these threats to peace. Okay, that's what we talk about in just war theory. So they're using other labels to get at the same reality. So the popes are trying to work within that context. One should not assume, therefore, that their intent is to do away with just war. There's another factor, and that is there were some Catholic, Catholic lawyers, publicists, people like Luigi Sturzo and some others after, who tended to conflate the just war idea with the idea that just war rejects, that war is a dispute resolution strategy. So, and because there were certain Catholic authors who were influential that started to conflate the two, this uneasiness arose about speaking of just war because the popes are wanting to track international law that doesn't allow resort to armed force to settle a dispute. So there's this worry about opening up a door. But if we then really come up into the modern period, particularly starting with Pope John XXIII, you got the problem of nuclear weapons. So the kind of damage that war can cause has suddenly grown exponentially larger. So considerations around proportionality become much more significant than they were in a previous time. So on the other hand, there's been a continuous reaffirmation from one pope to another of the ongoing value of, well, they don't call it just war, they often call it legitimate defense, resistance to aggression, other terms, constant affirmation. Saint Paul VI, you know, Jamais plus la guerre, famous speech at the UN. A year later, he gave another speech where he said, peace is not pacifism. Peace is not equivalent to pacifism. So, the Second Vatican Council, Gaudium et Spes, there's a section that deals with issues around peace. They make, for the first time in a magisterial document, a strong affirmative statement about nonviolence. But at the same time, they caution that nonviolence cannot be counted on in all to deal with all situations. And they even suggest that thinking that it can and refusing to come at the service of one's nation when under threat could be counted wrong. So Pope Francis cites these various passages. You know, so you go into his various treatments. So what Pope Francis does do is he tends to emphasize proportionality considerations more than his predecessors. So whereas Pope Benedict allowed for responsibility to protect, okay, humanitarian intervention, in Fratelli Tutti, Pope Francis is saying we need to rethink that. He doesn't refer to Pope Benedict, but he just says he comes off very reserved about humanitarian interventions, not because he contests the idea in itself that a nation or state should come to the aid of a third party nation or state, but that things when you do that, often it's done as a pretext to achieve other things, or lots of bad consequences follow. The pretext point is not, it's not entirely unfounded. At the beginning of the Second World War, when Finland was invaded, the Brits wanted to, they thought we're going to end up now with a full-scale German invasion. They wanted to get their hands on the iron mines in Sweden because they didn't want the Germans, if there's going to be war, they don't want the Germans to get all that iron. And how do you get the iron mines? Well, the only way to get to it would be to go through Norway. So the Brits started saying, we want to help the Finns. This was Churchill's. We want to help the Finns, and we just want to get passage through Norway to go help them. And you have to go through Sweden. And it was patently, it was over for the Finns. They weren't, they didn't stand a chance at that point. There was really nothing to be done. It was a pretext. Now you could say, well, maybe it was a good pretext. Well, so Pope Francis has a point that these things often are done for pretext, often turn bad. So where I round out the story is that fundamentally, I don't see any dramatic shift. And if you read between the lines, and I've got a number of quotes, Pope Francis doesn't want to affirm humanitarian intervention responsibility to protect. But when ISIS was having its inroads in Iraq, Syria, he came out with a statement suggesting that, force should be used to stop this. And bear in mind, it wasn't the issue of protecting, fellow Catholics. There were some Catholics were affected in Iraq. But it was mainly a matter of protecting Yazidis, Shiites, and so forth. So where do I land? In the contemporary papal teaching, we still have the core of the just war idea. The contemporary take on it is, however, considerably more restrictive than what you would find in what we know of Thomas's thought, but certainly what you can find in a Victoria and Suarez. Religious rationales for resorting to force, Victoria and Suarez supported them. Aquinas did, in some measure. That's no longer considered legitimate. And again, there's much more emphasis on issues around proportionality, worries about escalation, and so forth. I delve a little bit into Pope Francis's statements regarding Ukraine. He got himself into some trouble there, if I can put it mildly. But I think people don't realize that he did not call out Ukraine's aggression. People were disturbed about that. Call it an aggression. It's Russian aggression. If you go back, there's a long-standing policy of the Holy See, papal, Vatican diplomacy. You don't name, there's a very strong presumption against naming individual states in the context of conflicts. And part of that's a matter of the Lateran Treaty that created Vatican City State. That there's a clause in that treaty that requires the Holy See, or Vatican City State, as I think it's put there, to remain neutral in conflicts. So there's a set of barriers that Pope Francis had to deal with. And so the way things have, and then the last point now, is first and foremost, Pope Francis sees his role as Pope to be an advocate of peace. He doesn't think that his role calls for him to remind states of their need to defend themselves. He thinks that's the responsibility of political leaders. So he takes very seriously his distinctive spiritual role as Pope. And so what he's ended up doing in the case of the Ukraine and now Gaza is statements, what I would call relating to just war, he delegates to his Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, and the Secretary of Relations with States, Monsignor Gallagher. They're the ones who make the just war sort of statements, where Pope Francis continues in his advocacy of peace. So, yeah, sorry, I'm a little bit over. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this lecture on the Thomistic Institute podcast. The generosity of people like you makes this podcast possible. If you enjoy these talks, please consider showing your support at www.thomisticinstitute.org/donate. Your donation of even a dollar helps us reach more college students and many others with the powerful truths of the faith, and it ensures that we can keep publishing top-notch lectures on this podcast. Thanks a lot.